All right, Predictably Drunk. I don't know what episode this is. Welcome back. This is Sam Marcoux, and this is Predictably Drunk, the podcast. Smart people talking about stupid things, which I did quite a bit of this past weekend. Thursday night up at the Sacramento Punchline, myself, Kabir Singh, DJ Sandu, Kevin Kumia, Dash, whose last name I'm never going to be able to pronounce. So we'll just go with Dash. I don't think there's too many Dashes in comedy. So all those guys killed it. Just an absolutely fun crowd. My second time at the Sacramento Punchline, way better than the first. And I thought the first time was great as well. So that was a success. And then I spent the rest of the weekend drunk off my ass in Lake Tahoe with some buddies, kind of just a personal getaway trip, which was a lot of fun. Fun trip with those guys. Some weird guys. It was about eight of us in a cabin, and I think I knew about six of them. It's kind of friends of friends, and it's always weird to hang out with people you've never known before, never met before for a couple of days. You kind of, sometimes you bond with them right away, and sometimes you're kind of just like, who is that guy? I don't know if I should be hanging out with that guy. He's a weirdo. But just a fun weekend overall. Just like I said, lots of beer, lots of drinks, lots of gambling, lots of music, which this is probably going to be a little bit of a music-heavy podcast for the folks listening for a number of reasons. First and foremost, I've gotten a lot of questions about who does my intro, and that is a band called Coma, an East Bay, California band. They are no longer active, no longer relevant. Well, I don't know if they're ever relevant, but they're no longer active, which is a bummer because they had a real heavy sound. And, you know, I'm not big into heavy hard rock, but I really enjoyed their music, and they gave me permission to use it whenever and wherever I want. So just as a little tribute to them, I used to go to their shows a lot here in San Jose, East Bay, Alameda. I kind of use one of their songs as my intro and outro music. So shout out to Coma and the boys in that band. Mike, James, whoever else, Steven, I think Steven got in that band, a couple others who I can't remember, Joey, and Serge, the drummer, Serge, my personal favorite. What a maniac that guy is. I got to get him on the show at some point. Also a music show because I have a musical guest, a comedian musical guest with me by the name of Phil Johnson. Say hello, Phil.
Hello, everybody. Good to be here.
Thank you for being here. You are a rare talent when it comes to comedy. So how do you, first of all, Phil brought his child with him, which is in the form of a guitar, an acoustic guitar. So he's going to serenade us and entertain us here in a little bit, hopefully. And Phil does music. You have a degree in music.
I do, yeah. I ended up with a degree in jazz guitar after I quit physics.
So you were, where did you go to school?
San Jose State.
Okay, so yeah. We won't hold that against you. but you went to San Jose State for physics.
Yes.
It's a big engineering school, San Jose State.
Yes, yeah.
And you went, how did you go from physics to jazz guitar?
It was growing up, my brother and I were going to be, he was going to be a psychologist and I was going to be a physicist. That was the childhood plan. I don't know what kid wants to be a physicist, but I was that kid. And so I had started doing all the physics stuff. At the same time, though, I was playing in bands, I was teaching music, I was doing all that stuff. And when I got to the point of having failed Calculus 3 again...
again. Keyword.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to go play my guitar.
I'm not very good at the physicizing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was good with the classical physics. I could deal with velocity and gravity and all that kind of stuff.
Quantum well, clearly we're all good mind. At the classical physics. what does a physicist do?
Physicists are... probably going to be research and things like that. And now all the research is in quantum physics and astrophysics and things like that.
Okay.
I probably would have ended up somewhere in there discovering the origin of the universe.
So when I hear quantum physics, my TV-addled brain immediately goes to Quantum Leap. Does it have anything to do with time travel and or space?
Technically, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See?
I mean, when they talk
no
quantum,
dummy.
Quantum physics, they're talking... the tiniest particles in the universe. But that does kind of lead into the astrophysics stuff and on some level the possibility of time travel anyway.
So,
yeah.
So do you have you gone to therapy yet to figure out why you wanted to be a physicist? I don't know how you go from a career track as being a physicist, which is an admirable profession. In fact, one of my next door neighbors happens to be a physicist, and it's very embarrassing for me every time I talk. I don't know if you have this. My neighbor, every time he sees me, is very disappointed to see me. And I think it's because I tell dick jokes for a living.
Right.
And yeah. He's a physicist.
Right.
And I don't know what a physicist does, and I have nothing in common with the man. And I'm sure he's a very nice, intelligent person. And I think he probably thinks I'm a scumbag because of the way I look, dress, and talk. But I try very hard to impress him because he is a physicist.
Yeah, he's got a
he's got a thing, right? Like, that's a thing to be proud of. And he's like, I've never really met the man. Like, he's a stranger in many regards, but I feel desperately that I need to make him like me. Like, right. He needs to be impressed by, you know, my jokes or something. Uh-huh, so it's an admirable profession. I just don't know how, like you said, as a child, how did you, why did you, you just wanted that, that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I was always kind of science-y, math-y, you know, I was that kid. I was not the sports kid. I was not, you know, the literature. I read a lot, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
I was not the cool kid. I was the science.
Shocking. A comedian wasn't the cool kid growing up.
Who knew?
Yeah. It's a first.
It should have been a foregone conclusion. But I was like the sciences and math and all that kind of stuff. I was down with that stuff. And then when it got too hard, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go play guitar instead. So I ended up
spoken just, like a true comedian. Once shit gets too hard, forget it. I'll do something else.
Yeah. And I just found I wasn't enjoying it anymore. I was doing music everywhere except when I went to school. I was teaching, I was performing, I was writing, I was doing music everywhere except when I went to school. I was doing physics, and I was like, okay, this is the odd man out. I gotta go, you know, stick with the music thing and do that, because that's what I'm really having a good time with.
So that's kind of interesting, because it's almost a left brain, right brain type of battle right there between those two career paths, if you will. And I would think most people, if they're choosing those two, would take music almost as the hobby and the science as the career path, and you went the other way around. So
most intelligent people would do that. Yeah.
Then again, you are a comedian.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, surprisingly, there are a lot of scientists who are musicians, because there's a lot of science involved in
music. It makes sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of science and math involved in music. And so there, that's not that far a leap as it seems, but it is sort of a right brain, left brain thing. It was just more fun. It was something I was more passionate about.
I gotta tell you, like most comedians that come on here, when I ask them what they did before, what they were doing, I was like, well, I was going to be a roofer, but I had a really good fart joke and I went to an open mic and here I am now. So, it's, we have some actual brains and talent in the studio here tonight. So this is good. I did not know that before we spoke. We did speak a little bit off the air. And there are some things that I need to talk to you about, mainly your current relationship / living situation, which blows my mind. But we're going to wait on that real quick. We're going to wait on that. And the reason why Phil is here is, number one, I think you're an interesting guy, looking you up and talking to you. We haven't met before today outside
I don't think so. Yeah.
The social networking. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of friends within the comedic world. But you just dropped your third album.
Third comedy special.
Third comedy special.
I have, seven, eight, nine albums or something out over the years.
Wow.
But yeah, this is my third comedy special.
So the difference, you write, and pardon me for the lack of vocabulary here, legit music and comedic music?
I use the same term, either legit music or straight music. I don't write that much straight music anymore. Because the comedy music pays the bills. The people like it. I was a straight songwriter. All I wanted to be was a guitar player in a rock band. That's all I wanted.
I can tell by your hair. If I had never known you before, just looking at the length of your hair, this guy's got rock star hair.
Yeah.
You're very. How long have you been growing your hair?
I don't think I've cut it 25 years.
Something. Wow.
Like that. Yeah.
So you just let it grow and that's that's your rebellious.
Yeah. It doesn't grow much anymore. It's not even rebellious. My parents love it.
Oh.
It was totally not rebellious at all, but. Yeah.
Did they always love it, or did they just kind of grow to love it?
No, they dug it. My parents were old hippies, you know, so they were totally down with it.
I had an aunt and an uncle that were hippies, and they turned into super yuppies.
Oh, really?
Like super. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love them. I just saw them on Sunday, and they're great people, and they still kind of have that mentality of, hey, you know, do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, one that ended up becoming a CEO of, like, a hospital, and the other was within, like, within the school district for 40 years, my aunt was.
It
was
like, ruin anybody.
My God, like they went from, you know, damn the man to being, damn, you're the man.
Yeah, right.
You know, they went the other way with it. So it's kind of cool to see that some people, like your parents, maybe are keeping it real still, so to speak.
Totally, yeah.
So you're on your third comedy special. What is the name of this? This just came out. This is brand new.
Yeah, it just came out like 2 weeks ago. It's called Pretty from the Back.
Pretty from the Back. Interesting title.
I'm often considered such. And there's a...
So, to clarify for the folks, because this is an audio podcast.
Yes.
And if you couldn't clarify, you know, couldn't figure it out from...
I have hair down to my ass.
Hair down to his ass. Yeah. So, I'm guessing, my guess is, when walking past you... Gentlemen, young men, mm-hmm. and old men think maybe with your long hair that you're going to be a lady.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get it, especially when I'm in Las Vegas and I'm walking around the Vegas Strip at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's not fair. We're all drinking too much.
Exactly, and, exactly. I get it on the freeway a lot. So I have guys blow kisses at me and then see the soul patch on my face. And consider themselves misguided.
Yes.
At that point,
it's your fault. You tricked them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then I will follow them home because it's fun. And then I get it in the men's room. Like if I'm standing at the sink, looking in the mirror, right, and washing my hands, there'll be a guy come in the door behind me and like do the double take and look at the picture on the door again. And then they go, oh, okay, it is the right one.
But see, you don't look, and I haven't really seen you from behind, but or the back, but you don't look feminine. Like you're a man. You look like a man.
So. Oh yeah, no, it's just the hair that throws them off.
Yeah. And don't take offense to this, but you know, seeing how you're built and everything, I don't even know if you were a girl that I would necessarily
I do not make a pretty girl.
Well, and that, you know, take that as a compliment. Yes. Neither do I. And look at my face. I look like dog shit. But it's just the way it is. But that's funny. So that's the title of the third comedy special. Makes sense.
Yeah. So Pretty from the Back. That's a concept that's kind of kicked around in my head for a long time. And I finally just figured out how to present it, you know, well, or at least the way I wanted to.
So you've been doing comedy, what, you said about a decade now?
Yeah, it's been just over 10 years.
And you do not only music in, mm-hmm. in the comedy realm. You do stand up.
Yeah,
I was watching a little bit of your stand up where you were talking about Hawaiian Wheel of Fortune.
Oh yeah,
which uh-huh. was hilarious.
That's really special. Yeah,
yeah. If you that's right, because I was watching your YouTube teasers that you have. On
oh
there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So if you go on there, if they go to YouTube, what do they find? Phil Johnson comedy. Is that what they look for on YouTube?
Yeah,
as
I think
well?
It's youtube.com/roadside2.
Okay.
I think I wasn't thinking ahead when I got the URL, but yeah, roadside2.
But if you find it, and we'll post some links to the stuff for the listeners here to find that stuff. You do a little teaser on your special there. Yeah. I just came back from Hawaii. I was doing comedy in Hawaii.
I know, that's so cool.
You and I were speaking about it while I was in Hawaii, and great scene out there. Young scene, but a great scene.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's treated everybody like gold. It's not you know, out here people are patting you on the back, and you know they may or may not be your friend. You're not sure.
Right.
Out there, they just want you to succeed because it's such a young scene. So that's I know you've been to Hawaii. I don't know. Have you done comedy in Hawaii?
I haven't. No. When I was there, it was because I'm totally not a Hawaii person.
Yeah.
I would go there and do gigs, but no. My brother had a destination wedding there.
Ah.
So my girlfriend and my parents and I were all out there for this ridiculous wedding, and so I wasn't allowed to do comedy because we were on vacation, and I was. And this was 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, something like that. And there was no scene. There was like one room. There was
You're absolutely
so
right.
It's a really young scene.
Brand new
there.
Scene. In fact, it's probably, I would say, in the last 10 months to a year is when it's really started to pop up. And they have dedicated rooms now. And
interesting. Yeah. I really couldn't find much. It was a couple of places, but I didn't have any luck getting sets, and my girlfriend would have shot me anyway. So
I'm going to talk to you about your girl. We kind of teased a little bit. I'm going to get to that. I will say this: the ironic thing about Honolulu is that they have a Chinatown, which is not, you know, that's not shocking,
right?
But in Chinatown, I shit you not, Phil, there's about four or five Irish pubs.
Nice.
Which makes no sense to me whatsoever. But apparently the Irish pubs are very popular in Chinatown in Honolulu.
Why not?
And that is actually where you'll find most of your comedy rooms are going to be, in these just little pubs and cafes and stuff like that.
Honolulu is a dump anyway.
Honolulu is basically a sweaty San Francisco.
I call it Detroit with a beach.
Detroit with a beach. You guys hear that over there, my Hawaiian crew? You guys are D12 with a beach. What I don't understand about Hawaii in general is, you know, you have Waikiki, which is this brilliant beautiful area of Honolulu. Uh-huh. Lots of hotels, restaurants, shopping, anything you can possibly want. I mentioned it before. A parrot tried to sell me weed on the streets there, nice. Which that's unique. You can't get that anywhere else.
No.
You can't find a fucking parking spot there to save your life.
Nope.
At all. I mean, yeah. if you put in a 15 car lot and charge $20 an hour,
mm-hmm.
people would pay it because you can't park anywhere there. It's right. insane to me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But, you know, I guess that's not really my decision. I want to talk to you about your girlfriend.
Okay.
Okay, I've never met your girlfriend.
Most people have not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. She's just, like, tied to the basement door, or what's going on there?
No, she is anonymous by choice.
Okay.
Her idol is Dolly Parton's husband.
Okay.
Right. Yep. Nobody knows who that guy is.
I should know this because I was just playing a Dolly Parton casino machine up there in Lake Tahoe, but I feel like I should know that.
Yeah, because I told I had read Dolly's autobiography or something, and she was talking about her husband, and her husband, they'd been married for decades and decades and decades.
He was like a record producer or something, wasn't he?
Something like that, yeah. And he said, I do not want to be part of your career. He said, I don't want to be on stage. I don't want to come to the stuff. I don't want to, you know, I'll support you, but I don't want to be in the limelight at all.
Wow.
And my girlfriend was like, perfect. That's exactly what I want. You know.
So this girl is dedicated to you, and I'm going to bring this up delicately because I don't want to cause problems in the household here. But I want you to tell my audience, especially you married men, how long have you and your girlfriend been a couple?
22 years.
22 years.
Yeah, coming up in May. Yeah.
Your relationship status is old enough to drink with you guys.
That's
now.
Right. Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yes.
And you've never gotten married?
No, we never got married. For a long time, I wanted to get married and she didn't.
Okay.
And then I got over it, and then all her friends started to get married, and so she got the bug. And then she helped plan her best friend's wedding, and she came home one day and she was like, oh my God, these are expensive. And I was like, yeah. And we were both like, okay, well, we're good. Yeah, we're good. We'll just get a house, and we're good. So, yeah, we're both kind of over the idea. Neither one of us wants kids or anything like that. So, we both, it's just the two of us, and we're happy.
Wow.
Happy little ducks, yeah.
That you're my new hero. I've never been married. I feel like at some point I will be tricked into it once or twice.
Uh-huh.
And you are my hero. Just for that 22 years, you've been able to dodge that bullet. That's great.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, had we both been interested in the idea at the same time, we probably would have.
If she came to you tonight when you get home and said, I really want to get married, would you do it?
No, I'd probably talk her out of it.
Yeah. Even if it wasn't an expense thing. She said, look, we can go down to the courthouse. I'm an ordained minister, so I could marry you for free. And she said, look, we'll do this thing, just lickety-split, free as can be. I want to be married. I need the paper. I need the ring. You would talk her out of it.
Well, I don't know. I might consider it, except for I know she doesn't do anything cheaply. Even if she says she's going to, nothing gets done cheaply.
Wow.
Yeah, no, she
likes the finer things in life.
She does like the finer things in life.
And she obviously likes your hair.
She does.
Yeah.
I don't know if she still does. She did when we started going out.
You guys like pull each other's hair when you're getting into it a little bit and have some fun?
Only by accident. Only, ow, you're on my hair. It's more like that.
You're stepping on my hair, honey. good stuff.
She used to be a musician.
Okay.
As well. She was a bass player. Fantastic bass player.
Really?
And but she didn't like all the self-promotional stuff that
it's
goes along with being a performer, which you know well. And she just couldn't hang with it. She liked performing. She liked playing. She liked writing. Did not like all the promotional business end of it. And so she put her bass in the closet and quit. And it's a left-handed bass, so I can't even play.
Ooh, I'm left-handed, but I can't play the bass, so it doesn't really matter. Do you find, is that the hardest part of music and comedy for you, is the self-promotion?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, if there were a way to not do all that and still have a career, I would happily, you know, do without it. I mean, my least favorite thing is booking shows and just, you know, sending out emails and begging for work.
Doesn't it just make you feel subhuman in a way? It's like, please book me. Even if you're not desperate, it does come off a little bit like...
Because it's, you know, even if you're not hurting for work, there's still open dates to be filled, you know. And so I mean, all the business, and I don't mind doing interviews and things like this. This is great.
Yeah,
I like, you know, parts of it, but just the constant push of look at my stuff, look at my stuff, look at my stuff, and then the constant rejection that goes along with that is it's just deflating a lot of the time, you know.
So if somebody came to you again, same type of scenario. If somebody came to you tomorrow, gun to your head, and said, you can either choose to play music or you can do comedy, and you can be as wildly successful as you want to be in either venture, mm-hmm. and you had to choose one or the other, what would you choose?
I think these days I would probably head towards comedy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Never get to play the guitar again, never write another musical note in your life, just straight comedy.
I think I probably would. I mean, I love them both dearly, and it's two sides of the same coin for me, just doing both. When I come up with a premise, I just go, well, is it a joke or is it a song? You know, can I make it last 3 minutes musically, or is it going to last 1 minute as a stand-up bit? You know, it depends on how much material I can get out of it and if it rhymes.
My entire sex life is if it could last for a 1 minute stand-up bit, which is probably why I'm not married and single. Okay, so that's interesting. So that leads me to what I was going to ask you about anyways, is your whole writing process when it comes to music and or comedy. So does it, when something comes to you organically, is that the first thing you do is, oh, that's a funny line, can I stretch this into a bit, or can I make this into a lyric of a song? Or do you force yourself at times to write down, to say, hey, I'm going to have a writing session of music and comedy, and maybe something comes of it, maybe it doesn't. For me personally, you know, I tend to, because I'm very lazy, I wait until something kind of hits me organically through experiences or something on the news or whatever the case may be. Very rarely do I find anything that I like when I sit down and force myself to write.
Yeah, I try to write every day. It doesn't always happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to write usually sometime before noon, because that's by afternoon my brain is starting to shut down and or get into gig mode, which is not a writing mode.
Sure.
So I usually try and do my writing before noon if I can, and it doesn't happen every day, but usually I try to get it in there. But I when I sit down to write, I usually have something in progress.
Yeah.
A bit I can sit down and edit, or just an idea that came up the day before, or something that, you know, I've got. I keep an Evernote file of just random ideas that pop up. So I always have something I can go in and get to. If I've got nothing, I will force myself to just sit and write jokes about whatever. And that's when I usually will go to any of the, you know, the joke writing exercise, Judy Carter comedy Bible kind of, you know, take an exercise and just write jokes on it. And I never, ever have used any of that stuff in a show, but it keeps the channels open, and I'll usually, something else will pop up, you know.
Sure.
And if I'm really, really stuck, I'll just throw some stand-up on Netflix until something occurs to me.
Until something so obscure that you can steal it and make it your own?
Yeah, it's not even that. It's more like, you know, actually,
that's what I do.
I almost got thrown out of the improv one night because somebody thought I was stealing
Peter
Iglesias' material.
You can't steal Fluffy's. That's not good.
Yeah, and like I would be able to do any of his material anyway. Skinny white guy. But I was sitting up in the balcony of the improv, and he said something on stage. Oops, I just bumped the mic. Sorry. Gabriel said something on stage, and it popped a thought into my mind about another bit I had been working on that had absolutely nothing to do with what he was talking about. So I just grabbed my notebook real quick, and I was just making a note of it. And I hear from behind me, what are you writing down? Who do you work for? What are you writing down? Are you doing an interview? What is this? And I look back, and it was his feature act that he had brought with him.
Really?
Yeah, and I said, I'm a comic. I was just making a note about something that I thought of. You can't steal material, man. You got it. I said, I'm not stealing material. I said it was nothing to do with what he was talking about.
Who in the hell is this guy?
I can't even remember his name. And he's like, you got to be original. He just like stayed on my case. You got to be original. You got to not steal material. I was like, yeah, I know. I got it. And he went to the manager, Jim, at the improv at the time. And Jim comes up to me and goes, were you stealing material? I said, no, Jim. You know me better than that. And he goes, all right, just put the notebook away. And I was like, okay, fine. And so...
That is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And this guy who was telling me over and over, you gotta be original. This was a guy who his entire act was about being Mexican and about being married. And I was like, all right, maybe you should find some premises.
Yeah.
You know, and I even tried to be nice to the guy after, and he just wanted nothing to do with me. But yeah, so don't take notes in a comedy club.
But as a comedian, I mean, if you don't have a pen on you, I mean, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
God, I was at the same thing. I was at the improv, and Brendan Lynch comes running in because he wanted to write some stuff down that he just thought of.
Sure, sure.
And he didn't have a pen. So yeah, you give him a pen because he's a fellow comedian.
Right.
And he wrote some stuff. I mean, how do you not write stuff down as a comedian inside of a comedy club?
Sure, because watching it is going to generate
That's
ideas.
When the most creative juices are flowing, when you're around other creative people. And you're like, oh my God, that reminds me of... So, you know, it could be a trigger word. He could have been talking about horses, and you've got this whole other thing about
exactly.
horses.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, the fuck that guy. Yeah. Whoever that guy is.
That was my thought.
Anonymous too. Married Mexican guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, so now if I'm really stuck, I will throw some stand-up on Netflix. I actually did that this morning. I put on a Nick Offerman special.
Gotcha.
While I was folding laundry and exercising, whatever, and I just kept, oh, hey, that goes in that new song. That'll be great, you know? And so it's great for that. It's fantastic.
So speaking of songs, you brought your guitar.
Yes, yes.
Would you mind playing anything for us? Whatever you want to do. You know, comedy or just regular music, or if you can do mashup, or if you do, you,
oh,
do you
I don't
ever
play
do
regular music anymore?
Do you ever do kind of just off the cuff, kind of freestyle when it comes to music and comedy? Do you ever get on stage and just somebody throws you? You know, kind of like an improv thing where they throw you.
I don't really.
Because I think it's tough.
It is tough. The only time I've done that is, do you know Jen Kober? Have you ever seen Jen Kober?
I don't know if I know Jen, no.
She's L.A. and Louisiana, originally from Louisiana. But she was one of the people that I first hung out with when I started doing this. And she's super funny. And she would do improvised songs. So I would play guitar with her on stage. When I'd open for her, she'd bring me back up. We'd do an improvised song.
Cool.
And she would get, because she, that's her thing. She did a lot of improv. She worked for Disney World for a while in their comedy show there, whatever. So that's the only time I've really done that is with her. But that was just basically me playing chords. They go country, and I go, great, country.
Yeah.
And and it was up to her to come up with words. But I was a songwriter.
Yeah.
So even when I'm writing comedy, it's a very kind of composed thing, a very George Carlin-y kind
sure.
of thing, where this word goes here for a particular reason.
Right. You emphasize this.
Yeah.
Now, before you get started, a couple things. This is very much a musical podcast. We talked about it already. I would be remiss. I would be remiss here at the 26 and a half minute mark if I did not mention a couple of things. One of them, before I'm going to talk a little bit about what Phil's got going on in terms of websites and things like that, In the Galaxy podcast, Jay Williams, Michael Gilkison, fellow comedian, they decided to just rip the living shit out of me in their latest podcast, which I've been a guest on their podcast now twice. I'm actually scheduled to be on there for a third time, which I think makes me the first three-time guest on their podcast. And they decided, go listen to it. They were ripping me for ripping them for not knowing their own musical stuff. So they are a musical podcast, In the Galaxy. They In the Galaxy podcast, they review music albums, rap, heavy metal, all kinds of stuff, which is fun for me because I don't get a chance to really listen to a lot of music outside of a few things here and there. I mean, at this point, I'm in my wheelhouse. I know what I want to listen to, and it's usually going to be like 90s rock or maybe some like coffee house type shit nowadays because I'm older. So listening to their show, at least I get a chance to, you know, they find shit that I don't really know,
uh-huh.
right? So I like listening to it. They're funny guys. Jay Williams kind of sounds like Seth Rogen, like an unhealthy Seth Rogen, if you will. You know, like just that kind of really hard on the ears to listen to. Michael Gilkison, I don't even know if he knows how to spell his own name, but you know he's on there because you need somebody to talk to. But they're good guys. I encourage you to listen to them and then come back and listen to us here. But Phil, you've got a website, philjohnsoncomedy.com.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. You're also on Facebook under how do they find you on Facebook?
Phil Johnson Comedy.
Phil Johnson Comedy.
Yes.
That makes it easy.
To standardize now.
Yeah.
And just keep everything under Phil Johnson Comedy. Yeah.
It's kind of that branding thing, right? Like you got to, you know, if you have two or three different things going out there, it kind of confuses people. So
yes,
you got to, you know.
Pretty much if you Google Phil Johnson Comedy, I will come up. Do not just Google Phil Johnson.
You get some weird old physicist guy. It's weird.
Actually, you get a right-wing religious philosopher.
I thought that's who I was interviewing right now. No? Is that not you?
No. That guy's an asshole. Such an asshole.
So... but you're right, and the reason, and just a quick story, so this show is called Predictably Drunk. I am drinking a beer. I'm drinking Lagunitas Daytime Ale. It's a fractional IPA. Once again with Lagunitas, I know my fans are like, what the hell, man, he's always drinking Lagunitas. But A, it's available, and B, it's local, so shut up. But the whole show is called Predictably Drunk because I have a web series called Predictably Drunk, which is a little more alcohol influenced. This show, not so much, but the same thing. It was, you know, I kind of had a name with Predictably Drunk. So now I have a podcast called Predictably Drunk where I don't really talk about alcohol that much. The problem is when I promote it on Twitter or any social media and there's a hashtag of Predictably Drunk, I get so many followers of like rehab facilities that are trying to get me to stop drinking. So I should probably, maybe that's what I should do, is just kind of like post those tweets on my website of these people trying to get me to stop drinking because of my hashtag.
Or book a tour.
Or book a tour. Yeah, I could go walk around and do all that. But I digress. I want to hear, Phil Johnson's here, musical guest, comedian. You're more of a comedian than a musician, if you will, at this point. But you're good at both. I heard you kind of tuning up a little bit earlier, and even that was, I wanted to sway back and forth and maybe hold your hand a little bit. So I'm going to let you play what you want to play.
Cool.
We're right at 30 minutes right now, so whatever you want to do, we can do overtime here. I've got no problem having a good time doing this. So
cool.
Whatever you want to do.
So this is a song, this is actually in my new special. It's, I got invited to a co-ed baby shower, and which is a horrible idea.
Terrible.
Terrible.
I've done it myself.
Yeah, and my friend, she was like, oh, will you write a song for my baby about the miracle of childbearing? And I was like, wow, you've never heard my songs before. So here's what I came up with. Little baby, you were brought here through a miracle and a broken condom. I didn't know sperm carried knives. And somehow you got by the IUD, the diaphragm, the spermicide, and a morning after pill. But if daddy hadn't been so drunk, and mommy hadn't run out of batteries, if daddy pulled out on time, instead of thinking about Angelina Jolie, then baby you wouldn't be here. You'd have been wiped up with a towel. Little baby, will your new life be a happy one? Or will you make your money putting sausage between your buns? Will you be a great man who brings peace to all the land? Or the type of guy that lures kids into a big white cargo van? And since you're pretty scary, I'm really glad that you're not mine. And I guess I'm pretty happy that your mommy cheated on me this time. So go ahead and be just as evil as you want to be. Hell yes, I dodged that bullet and I'm free.
Very good. I imagine my audience is clapping right now. I enjoyed that very much.
Thank you.
And very much. Now, you know, obviously that is a funny song. It's a funny bit. Very well done musically, by the way.
Thanks.
At least to my untrained eye. Your influences when it comes to comedy and music, and I talked to you a little bit about this off the air, so I hate to bring it up, but I mean, do you get comparisons to people like, you know, Weird Al Yankovic or Tenacious D and those kind of...
Yeah, I do. The Weird Al one is always, I think, a little inaccurate because he does
parodies
original,
right?
Stuff.
Yeah.
I love Weird Al, and he's the reason I don't do parodies, because you can't do it better than he does.
Sure.
His production quality is so high and the accuracy is so great. I couldn't even come close. I did do one parody a couple years ago, and it's on my YouTube channel. I actually parodied that song Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
Because I had read a whole book about the song. It's a fascinating story behind that song, and then it goes, by the end of the book, he's talking about how overused the song is and all this kind of stuff. And he said at the end, he goes, "But there's never been a really good parody of the song." And I was like, accepted that challenge. You know, I will take that on. Thank you very much. And so I actually parodied the song in the strictest sense of parody, in that I used the song's own lyrics against it.
Okay.
It's the lyrics of the song, but just tweaked
a
to actually
bit.
Make fun of the song itself and the overuse and all that kind of stuff.
And people can find that on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's on my YouTube channel. Yeah, that's the only parody I've ever done. I think I performed it live once somewhere. I don't even remember where. And so I read all the original stuff. So that's but Weird Al's why I stay away from parody, because you just can't do it as well as he does.
It's tough to do. Yeah, I mean he has some original stuff from what I remember, but it wasn't very good. I mean, his wheelhouse is
the parodies
thing. And they're brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Weird Al, because like said, the man's a genius.
Yeah, they're fantastic. But I do get love Tenacious D, Stephen Lynch,
great one.
Flight of the Conchords, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I get those comparisons all the time.
Do you like Flight of the Conchords?
I'm not a super big fan of them. Yeah. I think they're unique. Actually, the biggest joy that I derive from Flight of the Conchords now is that the one guy has gotten to write songs for both the Muppet movies.
Oh, okay.
Because one of my dreams is to write a song for a Disney film.
Really?
Of some sort. And at this point, they've got the guy from Flight of the Conchords writing for the Muppet movies, and then they have Robert Lopez writing songs for Frozen and things like that. And he's the guy that wrote Avenue Q. You can write dirty, horrible comedy songs and get a job writing music for Disney. So that lightens my heart quite a bit.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know, and I kind of agree with you on Flight of the Conchords and that. You know, I respect what they do. There's some funny. I mean, I heard Hip Hopopotamus. I don't know how many times, which is one of their songs. It's that whole British thing to me. It's just they're almost like they come off as we're smarter than you, and they probably are. I just don't need to be reminded of it necessarily. So yeah, I mean, I respect what they do. Tenacious D. I mean, clearly, I can see why people would, especially when you're rocking on the acoustic guitar right there, and you have some.
Yeah.
But no, I thank you for doing that. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have any shows coming up here in the next
hour
long?
Yeah, this weekend, the 10th and 11th of April, I'm going to be at the Comedy Palace in San Diego.
Mm.
And then at the end of the month, I will be in Illinois, Ohio, Minnesota, and Michigan.
Wow.
And all those dates are, it's the 23rd through May 2nd. All those dates are on my website because I can't remember where they all are.
Yeah, check out the dates on philjohnsoncomedy.com. I'll also put them in the liner notes of this show when people want to find them. So this is going to be a long liner notes because you got a lot of shit going on. I got like actual guests now, ladies and gentlemen, who got shit going on here. So no, this has been great. Thank you very much for coming
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
PhilJohnsonComedy.com, Phil Johnson Comedy on Facebook. Just a brilliant songwriter and comedic talent here. Predictably Drunk, the podcast. This is smart people talking about stupid things. Phil Johnson, thank you once again
Thanks. For
being here. You can get his new album, their comedy special, excuse me.
Yes.
The third one is called?
It's called Pretty from the Back, and it's available on DVD and download at philjohnsoncomedy.com.
Pretty from the Back. You know what? I saw you when you grabbed the guitar. You were pretty from the back. So it's an accurate statement. So thank you very much again. This is Predictably Drunk, the podcast, smart people talking about stupid things. We'll see you guys next time.